Morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. What are we going to start with here this morning? We should have Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal with us here in just a few minutes. Lots of business news headlines on the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. But let me get a couple of other business stories on your radar here this morning as well. More signs that a data center could be coming to Butte. This one actually caught my eye Friday morning. The Billings Gazette picked this one up, I think, from the Montana Standard. You know, we've talked with J.P. Gallagher, the Butte Silverbow chief executive, about this potential data center coming to Butte, especially for our listeners on 1370 KXTL this morning here. This data center could be worth anywhere from $1 billion with a B to $4 billion. That's how big of a deal this could be here. But let's see. Butte Silverbow's chief executive says there are still hurdles to landing a sprawling data center in Butte. But the company flew him and others to Quincy, Washington to showcase one that they have there. J.P. Gallagher told the Montana Standard last week, quote, "We by no means have got this fully secured in Butte, but it was an opportunity for us to see what their campus looks like and what it could look like in Butte if they are able to clear those hurdles." According to the Montana Standard, Gallagher told commissioners early Wednesday night that Sabi Data Centers flew him and the community development director to tour the data center and talk with local officials about the benefits that has brought. Let me see if they got the details. Okay, I've seen it about six different times in this article here that people made the trip. Great, yeah, but what else stood out here? Let's see. The job numbers would depend on what companies the data center gets as tenants. Quote, but they said what they're proposing in Butte would be anywhere from 150 to 250 jobs working within the facility, but they all would not be employed by that specific company, and the construction jobs would be upwards of 1,000 people while it's in its construction phase. I also wonder how much revenue that would bring in to the Butte Silverbow area as well. When you think about, you know, the potential for data centers being tax revenue providers, you know, we've talked a lot about the demand for these data centers, the demand for electricity as well, and how, you know, this is something that rural Montana especially could capitalize on here moving forward, given the demand for these things. And so how much tax revenue could these things bring in, so that we're less reliant on residential taxpayers in particular? All right, let's see. Lots to talk about. We'll get to Evelyn Pyburn coming up right after this this news break. And then let's see. Another, you know, kind of tied in with this is Montana Energy. Carrie Seekins Crow, state representative out of Billings, going after far-left activist Amy Eddy, who is a left-wing candidate for the Montana Supreme Court. So we'll talk about that and more a little bit later in the morning. All right, quick break. We'll get to Evelyn Pyburn right after this. In the meantime, you can message us on the Montana Talks app.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some sunshine across the area for today, we'll see high temperature readings up in the mid-80s from Bozeman to Billings. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies. Overnight lows will range back in the lower to middle 50s. And the outlook for Tuesday does call for a mix of clouds and sun. Chance for a few late-day showers towards Bozeman with highs up in the low to mid-80s for tomorrow. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. Officials in California recently highlighting a spike in valley fever cases, the number on track to exceed the nearly 12,500 cases from 2024. That number was a new record for the state. The annual average before that was around 7,000 to 9,000 cases a year. Valley fever is named after the San Joaquin Valley. It's an infection caused by breathing in the spores of a fungus called coccidioides, which comes from the soil. Periods of drought followed by rain can promote growth of the fungus, sending those spores into the air. Symptoms can vary, but they can be similar to COVID-19, ranging from fever to chills or fatigue, or just a general feeling of being unwell. There can also be bone and joint pain, night sweats, chest pain, headaches, and skin rashes. Valley fever can go away without treatment, but some cases do require medications or medical treatment. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Big topics. Big ideas. Big Sky, Montana Talks.
All right, I did just get a quick update from the Billings Police Department. Reported this news over the weekend. A Honduran man arrested after slamming into a Billings Police Department patrol car in the early morning hours of Friday night slash Saturday morning. I did get a quick update from the Billings Police Department. The officer received minor injuries, but is back to work. So that is good news that the officer is back to work. Yeah, especially if you see this photo from Larry Mayer with the Billings Gazette on our Montana Talks website. Man, that was a nasty crash. So we're glad that that officer is okay and back to work already. All right, let's get right into the business news this morning. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal with us here. Yeah, this is the top story in the hot sheet this morning. Northwestern Energy is merging with Black Hills Corporation. Evelyn, what's the story here? What's your read on it?
Well, this merger is, according to these companies, it's going to better meet our energy needs in the future. The two companies have agreed to combine to create a regional regulated electric and natural gas utility company, which will be worth about $7.8 billion and have a combined enterprise value of $15.4 billion. The combined company will serve approximately 2.1 million customers across 8 states, which includes Arkansas, Colorado, Iowa, Kansas, Montana, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Wyoming. The merger is expected to increase investment opportunities and meet the rising energy demands that we are all hearing about while ensuring competitive rates, they say. The combined company will be headquartered in Rapid City, South Dakota, and will have a new name and ticker symbol, which will be determined prior to the close of the transaction, which is expected to close in 12 to 15 months. I've heard a couple or seen a couple of reports. They say that they are going to continue their operations in Butte, Montana. So I didn't get any vibes that there was any big changes into the way we will, you know, feel their operations continue.
I was going to say, they've got such a beautiful building there in Uptown Butte, a great location right across from, you know, the M&M and right there in Uptown Butte. I toured it once. They've even got like an upstairs kind of patio. So if you're on a lunch break, they've got this upstairs patio with a barbecue grill out there. I was like, oh, man, what an office. It'd be fun to have a radio studio right there. But yeah, but back to the meat of this news here. We've got a lot of investment opportunities here in Montana. I talked about this data center that they want to bring to Butte. There's data centers people probably want to bring to rural Montana to bring in some more tax revenue so they're less reliant on you know, the property taxpayers in particular, right? And we've just destroyed our industrial base here in Montana because of Democrat policies, liberal judges, and radical environmental groups. And it's interesting that the radical environmental groups, they do not want to see something like this because they want to continue to choke off Montana's energy supply. And so, and you can see it right now because the environmental groups are saying, oh, well, you know, where are we going to get the energy for these data centers? Well, you guys have been the ones shutting down the energy for Montana. Colstrip 1 and 2, for example. They tried to block the natural gas power plant in Laurel. And so seems to me that this bigger footprint, this bigger access to power, this bigger access, that it would not only help provide more energy here in Montana, but also provide more access to energy, you know, in the broader company to allow for us to have more access to power for business development, while at the same time not having to rely on the ratepayers to have to power the investment side of that. Does that make sense, Evelyn?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, and if you want a secure energy future, who do you want to count on to provide it? You know, Northwestern Energy or the environmentalists? I mean, whatever Northwestern Energy proposes to do, you know, their goal is to provide energy. And I don't feel like environmentalists, they don't seem to take problems like freezing to death in the middle of winter with no power very seriously. And the other thing I think is really interesting is the minute that Northwestern Energy proposes any kind of a rate increase, they go crazy. And yet it is their policies and plans for the future that increase the costs on ratepayers the most. So I don't understand, you know, the ins and outs of it, and I don't think most people would, but I believe that this is the company, this is the group of people you want to have planning our energy future.
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, I think some good, tough skepticism and questions, you know, will come up and, will come from our, you know, from our public service commissioners, for example, as they look at this and, you know, potential impacts to ratepayers. But, yeah, the bigger picture is you're exactly right. Why would we listen to these environmental leftist Democrats, the same people that shut down access to power like at Colstrip 1 and 2, the same people that tried to sue to block a natural gas power plant? Why would we listen to them at all when it comes to these types of, topics? All right, lots more to talk about here with Evelyn Pyburn. We could mention this coal news. Yeah, you know what? Let's mention the coal news coming up because it ties in with Colstrip 1 and 2 and access to power. We'll get to that one after the Farm and Ranch report here. Plus, I'd love to hear Evelyn's take on this proposed mental health facility and how the state has now put a pause on placing that facility in Billings.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
There was a huge media buildup and then wall-to-wall coverage of the Alaska summit between President Trump and Vladimir Putin. And most of it has been negative. There were no questions taken. There were no details provided. Both leaders said it was a good meeting, but it was all so vague. What did they agree on? What did they not agree on? No details, a lot of vague assurances. There might be another meeting with Putin, or there might not be. At the same time, President Trump later talked to Zelensky, who will be at the White House today, and he wants a permanent end to the war, not just a ceasefire, to, as he put it, give the Russians some breathing room between invasions. So it was a roll of the dice for the president, and the media verdict is it didn't get much. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
What a week we just had with Montana Talks. We took you to the Flathead Valley and broadcasted live from the Western Congressional Caucus Summit taking place in Whitefish, even some meetings taking place inside Glacier National Park. And then the explosive news we talked about on Friday, embezzlement charges facing a leading Montana Democrat Party operative. What will we talk about in the week ahead? Well, why don't you tell us? Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10, right here.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana Talks Ag.
with Lane Nordlund.
A linchpin of the farm safety net, crop insurance is now getting a makeover thanks to the recently enacted Big Beautiful Bill. Increased premium supports, expanded coverage options, and for beginning farms and ranchers, extra support on top of the current 10% they now get for 5 years. Risk Management Agency Administrator Pat Swanson.
With the new One Big Beautiful Bill that was passed, we are now being able to extend those benefits for 10 years instead of 5. The first 2 years, they're going to get 15% additional support. And the third year, they get 13%. And the fourth year, 11%. And in the fifth through the 10th year, they'll have 10% like they had before.
As for all producers,
we have additional premium support on optional units and basic units, which is when you keep each field separate when it comes time to calculate the claims. And enterprise units as well will also get an additional premium support.
She says the improvements will be retroactive.
We are actually making these changes effective on July 1st of 2025, because in the crop insurance world, that is our fiscal year, that's our reinsurance year, and it was important for us as we were implementing this to make sure that we did not cross over two different crop years.
It is also important for crop insurance agents, so Swanson says they can have accurate quotes to make informed decisions for the fall. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, back to business with the Big Sky Business Journal. Always great to have Evelyn Pyburn with us here every Monday. She's got a very interesting story that I haven't seen or heard about anywhere else yet as well. So we'll get to that one for sure. But next in line here, some of the headlines on the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. We were talking about Northwestern Energy merging with Black Hills Corporation and what this means for, you know, meeting the rising energy demands here in our region. Tied in with that, the U.S. Department of Interior approving the expansion of coal mining in Montana, marking the second largest coal expansion since President Donald J. Trump took office. The good news keeps coming in on the Montana energy front. Evelyn, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, this is, you know, good for Montana, expanding our coal industry because we got lots of coal. This proposal would generate 33.75 million tons of federal coal. 300 jobs are involved. And they say this is enough coal to power a million homes. And the news release said that the newly announced mining plan modification is located in Rosebud Mine in Rosebud and Treasure Counties and enables the recovery of 33.75 million tons of federal coal and extends the mine's operation through 2039. And together, they can generate more than 1,500 megawatts of electricity. And that is apparently enough power to energize a million homes. So that's good news for us who worry about keeping warm in the winter.
Well, and it's also great news for the miners that work there at the Rosebud Mine. Great news for the workers at the power plant there in Colstrip as well. I wonder if folks who had sold property in Colstrip a few years ago that were just thinking that, worried about the eventual demise of the entire community because of the Democrats' attacks on coal. I wonder if they wish they held on to those homes and then the property now, because it looks like, with thanks to President Trump, that Colstrip is going to be powered moving forward. And then, you know, going back to Northwestern Energy, when I was at the Governor's Cup golf tournament a couple of weeks ago, I saw Northwestern Energy CEO a bird flying by in a golf cart, and I said, "Hey, we're gonna get this small scale nuclear topic going for Colstrip as well." He says, "I hope to at least get the conversation started during my tenure, but it might be up to a predecessor to actually make it happen."
Yeah, I think the prices on that, I hear they're coming down, but they're still pretty huge. But you know, they're going to put one on the moon, so, you know, we certainly could put one in Montana.
Might be easier to put one on the moon than in Montana unless we get these federal judges and regulations in line. But another big story, this is a sounds like this is something you've got the exclusive on here, Evelyn. So apparently a new transloading facility is now in the works for the west end of Billings. This could be key not just for folks in Billings, but for people all across the region that want to ship their products via rail.
Yes, well, this is in the current issue of the Yellowstone County News, and Yellowstone Industrial Development, or YID, is soon to open a logistics service that will expand options and enhance the economic activity for Yellowstone County for all kinds of business, especially those in the industrial category. Nearing completion on a 220-acre piece of ground west of 64th Street West between Central Avenue and Monad Road, YID will open in October as a transloading service that will increase in convenience and reduce costs of shipping and receiving products, equipment, and other shipments by rail. It is being developed by a local family-owned enterprise of Fred Hubert and his sons Quinn and Tori. And while there are a number of companies in the Billings area who have their own railroad spurs to meet their needs, there are many businesses that do not need a dedicated spur and can't justify such an expense, but they do occasionally need the services, which across the country are being built and are commonly provided by transloading facilities. And this is going to be a certified facility, certified by BN, and who Hubert say has been very supportive and encouraging to build this, and it's going to be a huge boon, I think, to the future of Billings business in many different ways. So this is really a pretty big deal.
Yeah, very cool story. Very cool story, because, now if you have a product that you want to ship, you have access to this rail deal for Kilmore. Did you guys hear that news update there? Kilmore Abrego Garcia, he gets to go to Uganda or Costa Rica. Did they settle on a final destination? I've been to Uganda and Costa Rica. You could send me to either one of those countries, especially come January or February. It'd be a nice time to go to Uganda or Costa Rica. All right, Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Thanks for sticking with us for a few more minutes here. You've got a story about this mental health facility. So the Montana legislature approved funding for a new mental health facility. Obviously, we need more mental health facilities here in Montana. Former Democrat Governor Steve Bullock just demolished these mental health organizations during his tenure. But it's pretty clear that a lot of folks in Billings are saying, hey, we've got too many of these types of services already in Billings. We're tired of being the dumping grounds for the state's offenders or just issues, right? And so a lot of local officials have pushed back against placing this mental health facility in Billings. And so now the state has put a pause on placing that facility there. Did I do a decent summary?
Yes. I think this is going to has the potential of becoming a pretty big issue for Billings, and unless the state, has more of their planning done than so far it appears to have. I don't know. That's one of the complaints, is the state hasn't been very forthcoming with details about their plans. And of course, Billings is. They have numerous people in the state government have said that Billings is the preferred location for this. And they say specifically because of the support services that are available in Billings. But as we all know, those support services are overwhelmed and over capacity, and the local county commissioners and city council people are saying, okay, what's your plan? How are you going to deal? You know, because this, they haven't even really clearly said that this is going to be a facility for people who have been charged with a crime but need mental health care, or if it's just going to be a more general facility serving those in need of mental care. And
yeah, because that would make a difference, right? Yeah, it would make a difference.
Yeah.
Is this like a Warm Springs? Is this criminals that have mental health issues? Would they be released from here, or would they be released back in their home communities? Yeah, lots of questions. All right, Evelyn Pyburn, great updates as always. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. Make sure you sign up for the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet and check out the print edition as well. But with that hot sheet, yeah, you get it in your email inbox every, you know, Sunday night / Monday morning. Always some great information and always great insight from Evelyn Pyburn. Let's see. Quick break here on Montana Talks. We've got another great guest, I think, joining us right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'm trying to think here. Do we play the song first, or do we talk with our guest first? Let me see here. So, yeah, we got a great message on the Montana Talks app over the weekend. He put a poem together about the great people of Anaconda, Montana, and then someone decided to take his poem and put it to music, and it basically went viral. As you guys know, the community of Anaconda has been hit hard following the devastating shootings that took the lives of four innocent people at the Owl Bar. That then led into a manhunt, a week-long manhunt, before law enforcement was able to track him down. It's just been a rough time for the folks in Anaconda. And anyway, let me take a step back here for just a moment. Do you guys remember, this was back in April. This was kind of funny because our friend Kendall Cotton is the CEO of the Frontier Institute here in Montana. And, you know, he covers a number of public policy issues and things like that. And, you know, when you think about what you can do with AI these days, with artificial intelligence, it's crazy what AI can do. One of our friends in the radio business in the Flathead, Eric Maldonado, you know, he does commercial radio production. He's made commercials for the radio or promos for the radio all using AI. And it's like, holy cow, that sounds incredible. It does the music. It does the big announcer voice. Everything all through AI. It's crazy. But yeah, back in, I think it was in April, you know, and the legislature was in full swing. And of course, property taxes were a big issue then. They're a big issue now. And so Kendall Cotton basically went to AI and had AI make a song about property taxes in Montana and how bad the property taxes are. And I listened to the song, and I was like, holy cow, this is actually a really good song. I mean, the singing's great, the music's great, the wording is great. I don't know if you guys remember that one. I might have to re-rack that song for you as well. Well, that's basically what happened here is Bernd Bergman of Butte. You know, he's worked in Anaconda. He's also lived in Deer Lodge. So he put together a poetic tribute to Anaconda, and he sent us a message on the Montana Talks app over the weekend talking about this. Puts together this poem. He shares it on a couple of the Anaconda-related Facebook pages, and apparently just goes viral. And somebody puts it to music using AI, and now it's a song just like that. Anyway, great to have Bernd Bergman now with us right here on Montana Talks. Bernd, thanks for your message over the weekend, and thanks for joining us right now on Montana Talks.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Well, tell us, why did you decide to write this poem? Just talk about what it's been like in Anaconda these last few weeks in particular.
Absolutely. So I've never lived in Anaconda, but I've worked there for several years driving school bus and then just recently driving seniors to and from the Smelter City Senior Citizen Center. during that time, and because my job dealt with the public, the children going to school, the parents, and finally the seniors of Anaconda, I got to know the heart and soul of this wonderful town. The kids loved living there. The parents did, too, and told stories of their grandparents. And the seniors told me stories, too, of working in the smelters and how hard the work was. On some of my routes driving seniors home from the senior center, I got a good feel for the town of Anaconda. The houses, similar in architecture and close together in spaces, spoke volumes of the closeness of neighbors. You could feel the waves from the porches. You could sense the history, the hard work they did, and the family values on display up and down those historic streets. I decided to put it into words. And why did I write this tribute? Well, after the shooting at the Owl Bar, something changed in Anaconda. The town felt quiet in a way that went beyond sound. People were stunned. The rhythm of daily life, familiar, warm, steady, was shaken. A place known for its strength and kindness felt lost. I felt it when I drove in to work every day. The heart of the community was heavy, and many didn't know how to speak about what had happened. I wrote this tribute to help Anaconda remember who it is. This town has always carried a deep spirit. It was built by hardworking people who believed in showing up for each other. Families came here with hope. It was stitched in the buildings, and it passed down through generations. And yes, the winters are tough, but the mountains offered shelter. And these people learned how to care quietly, consistently, with grace. That tragedy brought pain, but it also revealed something powerful. In the days that followed, neighbors reached out. Strangers became helpers. Stories were shared. Candles were lit. The town began to heal, one gesture at a time. Through this tribute, I wanted to give Anaconda a voice again, a voice that speaks with dignity, with memory, with love. I wanted to remind us what made this place special, its history, its character, its people. And I wanted others to see it, too, to understand why Anaconda is a beautiful place to live and why visiting there means stepping into a community that welcomes you with open arms. This writing is a way of holding space for grief and for gratitude. And it's a way of saying we remember, we care, we continue. Anaconda's spirit lives on. You know, like in every handshake, every shared meal, with every name spoken with kindness. And that spirit deserves to be seen, honored, and carried forward. That's why I wrote it, so the locals wouldn't forget, and anyone visiting would see and feel just how special Anaconda really is.
I'm just realizing I should take, if it's okay with you, I should take the full copy of your whole poem, if that's okay, and also post that on our Montana Talks website so people can read the words as well, because it speaks to those working class roots, but also the beauty of the mountains and the kindness of the people as well. We've got so many great listeners in Anaconda that join us on the show here. So Byrne, you share your poem. That was not the poem that you just shared, but you shared the full poem that you wrote about Anaconda, and it basically goes viral on these Anaconda Facebook pages. And then a woman named Jeannie Morrison, she grew up in Anaconda, lives out in Elko, Nevada now. She said, man, we need to put this to music. And then she basically used an app called Songer.co to make the song using AI. What did you think when you first heard the song that took your poem and made what was your first reaction?
Well, first off, I'd like to say about Jeannie, her humility it slayed me. She didn't want to take any credit for anything, and I wanted to make sure that she did get credit for this, because I had posted these exact words from this song on Uniquely Anaconda and Amazing Anaconda before, and yes, it got several hundred likes and some very nice comments, but when Jeannie put it to music and I posted the video, and we now have 8,500 views. She didn't just accompany it. She elevated it, okay? And so when I heard it, I played it, and me and my wife sat and listened to it. I got to tell you, tears welled up in my eyes. I had no idea, first off, that it was AI. I am blown away. I've listened to it on headphones, and it
it was the same thing when we played that property tax song, you know, about obviously a much different topic. And I was like, holy cow. I was like, this is crazy.
I know.
Crazy. I think, too, you know, we had one of our listeners, Jared and Anaconda, you know, because we're a show that oftentimes talks politics, and so people disagree on things.
Sure.
But you know, I heard tragically that our friend Jared and Anaconda passed away a while back, and I never saw an official obituary. But man, it was just he was one of our listeners that didn't agree with a lot of our other listeners, but he was always agreeable. Even if you disagreed, mm-hmm. you can do it without being disagreeable. And what a great guy! But he was a musician there in the Anaconda area and loved to play bluegrass and loved to go fishing. And so
I would like to have heard him.
Yeah, I thought of him when I heard this song about Anaconda and so many of our other friends there as well. Well, Bern Bergman, I think what I'll do is after our next break here, I'll play this song for our listeners now that we've kind of told them the backstory on it. About a minute to go before the break, and then I'll play the song. Bern, I understand you got a book coming out soon. Let our listeners know about that.
Well, it's a little lengthy to describe because I'm using a genre that's very esoteric, uses a lot of metaphor and meaning. It's what helped me write the words for Anaconda, the song. And it's called Midrash. It's a Jewish term. But just to give you an example, like each patch of prayer, each thread of promise, that's from the song. That's not quilting. That's spiritual architecture. It's stitching legacy into language. So I use that genre to write this thing. And the book that I wrote is called Midrash Whispered by Stars. It's about a young Jesus from age 5 to the day before he steps out to be baptized. So I was using Gnostic Gospels and non-canon so I could put this story together. And
very
it's
cool.
The same type of writing.
Interesting. Well, send me another message either on the Montana Talks app or you can email me back with the book title and where people can find it so we can share that with our listeners as well. Bern Bergman, great to have you on Montana Talks. Thanks for sharing this story with us. Thanks for sharing this poem and this song with us. Great to have you on Montana Talks. Thanks for your time. We'll play
Thank
the song
so
right
much.
After this.
I was deep in it, gaming on Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 7. Unfolding the screen made it twice as big and so immersive, I kind of lost myself. Might have trolled a little too close to the sun. Someone in the chat told me to touch grass, so I took my Z Fold 7 outside and kept playing. Still won, got a tan, and a nice little reset. Powerful processor, realistic graphics, you stay locked in, streak stays alive. Can your phone do that?
The new Galaxy Z Fold 7. Get yours at Samsung.com.
Fox News commentary.
Some shrimp sold at Walmart could be radioactive. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
The FDA is warning consumers not to eat certain Great Value brand frozen shrimp products from Walmart due to the fact they could be contaminated with cesium-137, a radioactive isotope. This radioactive contamination traces back to shipping containers of frozen shrimp from Indonesia. Thank goodness for our brave U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents who flagged this at 4 ports, L.A., Houston, Savannah, and Miami. The FDA added that although it cannot confirm the presence of contamination in any commercial product in the U.S., the shrimp products appear to have been prepared, packed, or held under unsanitary conditions whereby it may have been contaminated and may pose a safety concern. So if you get some sketchy frozen Walmart brand shrimp, throw it away, and may I suggest either getting your seafood fresh from U.S. producers or opting for good old-fashioned American red meat instead. That way, you won't glow like a Christmas tree after dinner. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With some sunshine across the area for today, we'll see high temperature readings up in the mid-80s from Bozeman to Billings. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy skies. Overnight lows will range back in the lower to middle 50s. And the outlook for Tuesday does call for a mix of clouds and sun. Chance for a few late-day showers towards Bozeman with highs up in the low to mid-80s for tomorrow. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
All right, I probably posted way too much content on our Montana Talks app, but that's why you got to download the app. You can pick and choose what you want here, plus get full show audio on the Montana Talks app. Here's just some of the headlines. Zach Top shouts out Montana in his new single, Pheasants Gone Wild. We've got an outlook on pheasant hunting here in Montana and some of the thousands that were just released for Montana hunters.
The identity theft issues guaranteed or your money back. Save up to 40% off your first year with the promo code Beck at lifelock.com. Terms apply.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so this is going to be a little bit of inside baseball. So doing a radio show, broadcasting on the radio, the normal music that you hear play, well, we have the rights to play that. We pay for these music services so that you can play whatever, the country music, the all that stuff, right? So how do you get rights? How do you get permission to play a song from AI? We're talking about, you know, after the tragedy, a song for Anaconda, Montana. Well, because Jeannie Morrison, she went to AI, used an app called Songer.co to make this song using AI. Jeannie basically is given the rights by the app to own the song. And so then she is able to give us permission to play it on the radio here. So this is the poem that Bern Bergman wrote that Jeannie Morrison then turned to AI to make the music for. Again, these are not real singers. These are not real artists. This is AI that put this whole thing together.
Anaconda, Montana. She was born where the mountains lean close, where the wind carries whispers of copper and coal, and the sky, vast and unrepentant, arches like a cathedral above the Washoe stack, that solemn chimney, a monument to labor, to fire, to the aching backs of men who sweat could be sacred.
Anaconda, not merely a name, but a hymn of endurance, sung in rust and pine. She rose from slag and soot, from the hands of immigrants who stitched their hopes into the seams of brick and snow. Winters are honest, they do not flatter, they teach you to share warmth, to know the weight of silence, to find beauty in the breath of a neighbor who shows up when grief knocks and stays, when joy lingers. The people, they do not boast, they carry stories in their did.
Yeah, there you go. That whole song created by AI, but the words to that song, the poem written by Bernd Bergman of Butte as a tribute to the great people of Anaconda, Montana. You can see the video and the pictures and the imagery that they created as well. Go to MontanaTalks.com. After the Tragedy, a song for Anaconda, Montana. All right, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show, Judge Dan Wilson, candidate for the Montana Supreme Court, and much more. Back right after this.
From the mattress firm.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
KBU.